When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, we continue. This is Zach Gilb's show on CBS Sports Radio. Abby Chin, who's a part of the Boston Celtics coverage on NBC Sports Boston, going to join us 20 minutes from now as the Celtics were on the verge of making history, but yet just did not capitalize on the big stage last night. They were so close, but yet so far. Down 3-0, they get it to a Game 7 after the heroics on Game 6 on what was Saturday night. Craziness. Smart misses the shot with 3 seconds left, and with 0.1 seconds, a great hustle play by Derek White. Beats the horn, beats the buzzer. You go back to Boston for Game 7. You know, Boston has not been good at home. They've already lost 2 games in that series, found a way to win Game 5. Jason Tatum right out of the gate rolls his ankle, and Jaylen Brown was just terrific. And Caleb Martin, who you knew he wasn't going to win the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. It was going to go to Jimmy Butler. And just I feel like whenever you get someone that's close, they give it to the player that has the bigger name or whose team it is. But when you watch that series, Caleb Martin, if I had a vote, and I didn't, I would have voted Caleb Martin to win the Eastern Conference Finals Most Valuable Player. So that was the scene last night in Beantown as Boston blows it and the Miami Heat find a way to go to the NBA Finals. And Jimmy Butler is going to play in his second NBA Finals with the Miami Heat going up against the Denver Nuggets. And that series will commence coming up on Thursday night. And right now we'll have a lot of audio off that game last night in that anticlimactic Game 7 for all the back and forth this series was with it being a Miami Heat blowout. Let's get to a little news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Jimmy Butler. Did you see, by the way, that he filed for a trademark, Kiki? Jimmy Butler?
No. What trademark is that?
Jimmy Butler.
Okay, I like it.
Jimmy is him. Jimmy Butler on not collapsing after blowing a 3-0 lead. This courtesy of NBA on TNT.
We stayed together as a group, as a team. We talked about going to get a tough one on the road. We did just that, but we're not satisfied. We're excited. We're happy, but we got 4 more to get.
So that was in the trophy presentation, which I thought, Hickey, the trophy presentation was so odd. Now, Jimmy Butler did that classic superstar thing that who was saying this? Jim Solania, when he called in last week. When you win the semifinals, you win the conference finals, you always say you're not happy, even though everyone knows you're happy. Because Bam gets the trophy, and right away he goes to give it to Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler mouthed, yeah, I'll get the next one, something along the lines of, I'm not satisfied yet, we still need 4 more. So that's the Jimmy Butler mentality, fine, whatever. I understand why players do that. You all know they're happy in the moment, though. So it created this awkward moment where Ernie Johnson knows at that moment who's winning the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. So you're not going to go to Butler right away because you're going to get to Butler once you hand out that trophy. So they hand out the Eastern Conference trophy, and then right away they go to Bam Adebayo, who makes mention, Hickey, of this motivational video that Spoelstra showed him. And then once Bam gave you nothing, Ernie Johnson, who's a legend, goes right to Eric Spoelstra and was pressing him on the video. Spoelstra gave him nothing. And then it's like, all right, let's hand out the Eastern Conference Finals MVP trophy. Here it is, Jimmy Butler. And they do the Jimmy Butler interview. I thought the biggest storyline from a Miami Heat perspective in Game 7 was the play of Caleb Martin. How the heck did Caleb not even get a question asked about him? None of his teammates even mentioned him. And they don't even do an interview. Like, I get it. Bam's their second best player. Get Bam out of there. Go to Caleb Martin right out of the gate, or start off with Spo, then go to Caleb, and then you give out the trophy and you wrap things up with Jimmy Butler. I couldn't believe. I was shocked last night, Hickey, that there was not a single mention. Not one word was uttered about the brilliance of Caleb Martin, who was the best player for the Miami Heat last night.
I get those situations are difficult because there's a lot of moving pieces and
Stop it. It's all live.
I'm just saying, I agree with you.
Johnson.
No, I agree with you. He absolutely should have been the first player talked to.
Not his first rodeo?
Especially if you were going to wait on Jimmy Butler because you want to give him the trophy, then talk to him. Caleb Martin should be the first guy. I get there's a lot going on, but you're
right. Or even at the end.
Right.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Give him a little sympathy interview at the end. Where the heck is everyone else going? It's Monday night of Memorial Day. Where are people rushing to? You just ate all the food this weekend. You just drank all your booze. You're sitting on your couch and you're going to get ready to go to bed. You can't give Caleb Martin 45 seconds, a minute? You can't give him a question or two? No one in the Heat can say, yeah, great job, Caleb. Way to go. You carried the team tonight. Ridiculous. And you know who I'm annoyed at too? Reggie Miller. Didn't it seem like all throughout the game, Reggie Miller's doing like the announcer question? Ooh, is Caleb Martin playing himself into the Eastern Conference Finals MVP? Well, it was 5-4. There's 9 votes. Reggie Miller voted for Jimmy Butler. Hickey, I was shocked when Reggie Miller voted for Jimmy Butler because he made it seem throughout the entire damn broadcast that he was going to vote for Caleb Martin if he had a vote, and we found out that he did. I was shocked by that.
The only thing I'll say is it is a series award.
Yes.
Caleb Martin was by far the MVP of Game 7. Games 1 through 7, I still think Jimmy Butler should have won. I have no problem with Jimmy Butler winning.
It's not egregious, but you look at the performances by Caleb Martin, he averaged 19.3 points per game in this series. And in the biggest game of the series, he was their best player. He was their most efficient player on the court last night. So if you want to say, okay, Jimmy Butler had the better series, averaged almost 25 points, fine. But you can't be doing what Reggie Miller did throughout the entire broadcast. It seemed like he was advocating for Caleb Martin. And he voted for Jimmy. That's what didn't make sense to me. So Tim Bodden-Kemps, or however you say his name, voted Jimmy Butler. Doris Burke voted for Jimmy Butler. Reggie Miller, Miller voted for Jimmy Butler. Tim Reynolds from the AP, Caleb Martin. Ben Roerbach, whoever that is, from Yahoo Sports, Jimmy Butler, John Schumann, NBA.com, Caleb Martin, Joe Vardon, or Verdone. How do you say his name from The Athletic?
Joe Vardon.
Yeah, he voted for Caleb Martin. Gary Washburn, good job, Caleb Martin. And then Ira Winderman, who covers the Heat for the Sun Sentinel, voted for Jimmy Butler. So very close. But geez Louise, I was shocked that Reggie Miller voted for Jimmy Butler.
Also, do you care who wins the MVP? For an award that was just created 2 years ago?
Well, didn't they give out conference finals MVPs before this? It was just that they named them Larry Bird and Magic Johnson after them.
I believe this is only the second or third year they've done it.
Okay.
That's what I'm asking. Like,
honestly,
do you actually care?
Probably not. What annoyed me was the presentation of it. That's what annoyed me. Reggie Miller basically advocating for Caleb Martin throughout the entire game, and now Caleb Martin can't even get a mention afterwards. That's what annoyed me. That's the only reason why I'm talking about it. How did the guy not get a mention? Not one. No one gives him credit? How much of a jerk is he in the locker room? Like, seriously, what the heck does that guy do in the locker room that he can't even get a mention after the game like that? I didn't miss that, right? I'm sitting there. I'm like, when are they going to talk about Caleb Martin? When are they going to go to Caleb Martin? Is anyone going to mention this guy? And they're already all right, we'll send it back to the studio. Here we go. How do you not mention the guy? That's just crazy. I know they're honoring the producer, TK, whatever the guy's name is. It's been around for years. No one gets an Ernie Johnson's ear. Hey, now mention Caleb Martin. Like, what are we doing? All right, let's go to Eric Spoelstra. Says last year's loss fueled them to win this game. Remember, they lost last year in Game 7 to Boston.
What happened last year, you know, obviously was on our mind, and it drove us this year. And that's what you always hope for competition, that it can drive you to a higher level. And I think that's what you saw in this series this year, to be able to have to overcome a lot of stuff.
Since no one on TNT would mention Caleb Martin in the trophy presentation, we'll hear from Caleb Martin on how the team was able to win after losing 3 straight.
I mean, I think it just sheds a lot of light on, you know, how resilient our group is, how mentally engaged that we are, no matter, and how positive we are mentally, no matter how the season's been going. We've been like I said, we've been talking about how the regular season's been preparing us for these moments, and I mean, I just think that's it comes full circle.
We could have used that on the court after the game, Hickey. We could have easily used that instead of getting this 3-4 minutes of, oh, what did you guys watch before the game? Oh, no one's going to tell us what the motivational video was before the game. Jason Tatum on what the Celtics needed to change to win it all.
You know, we had a special opportunity this year. We just fell a little bit short. It's not like we're not capable. We don't have the talent. You know, we do. It just didn't go our way this year.
Jason Tatum on the importance of signing Jaylen Brown long term.
It's extremely important. You know, he's one of the best players in this league. You know, plays both ends of the ball and, you know, still relatively young. So, and he's accomplished a lot so far in his career. So I think it's extremely important.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway from last night, Hickey, was when Tatum early on, you knew he wasn't going to be able to give you 100% because he rolled his ankle. And he was, for the most part, being used as a decoy, and you just continued to see throughout the game how that ankle was deteriorating. And once they went into halftime, you knew that that layoff was going to negatively impact the Celtics. You needed Jaylen Brown to rise up to the occasion, and everywhere you turned your head, it was a Jaylen Brown turnover. It was alarming how bad he was in the game. And I said this earlier, and I'll say it again. Yes, he's eligible for a 5-year, $295 million extension. Most likely, he'll get paid by the Boston Celtics if he wants to stay in Boston, which is a big part of that equation. But he had an opportunity last night to prove his worth and put his stamp on history and put his mark on history of being the guy that won Game 7 for Boston in an epic 0-3 comeback. And when the lights shined on the big stage, and Jaylen Brown, right, there's all those rumors. Do you want to go somewhere else and be the number one guy? He showed you why he's not a number one guy last night. Because that was absolutely pathetic, his performance. He couldn't even give you an okay effort. Give me a good effort. You may have a chance to win that game. You don't even need a great effort. He was just so bad. He was putrid. That's all I could say. He was putrid last night.
In every sense of the word, in the sense of defense, turnovers, but even some of the shots he took where you get a defensive rebound or a turnover from Miami, and he's running, jacking up threes when the offense is not even set, when he's not hitting any threes to begin with. It was everything that he tried to do yesterday did not work whatsoever. It was a big time failure.
When the game was still in reach, I kept on holding up five fingers, and I was trying to see if you could get through Celtics stop. They score. Celtics stop and score. Celtics stop and score. Celtics stop and score. Celtics stop and score. My fingers got tired because I'm trying to do that. And every time you put one finger down, you have to put one finger back up. Even when they got some stops, how quickly they would rush to shoot and just shoot these ridiculous 3-point shots made no sense to me. Jaylen Brown discusses his future with the Boston Celtics.
I expected to win today and move on. And that's what my focus was on. That's what my focus has been on. We failed. I failed. And it's hard to think about anything else right now.
Which is just going to further lead to speculation. I know you never get an answer after the game like that, but with 1 year left in the contract, the biggest question the Celtics have to figure out this offseason, does Jaylen Brown want to stay? And if he doesn't, then you're going to have to trade him and break up this duo of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Joe Mazzulla on what he'll remember about this season.
It's one of the best locker rooms I've been a part of. The guys cared. They gave it everything they had. It's the most important thing to take from this. Obviously, we didn't achieve our goal. We didn't win, which was our goal. So we failed in that regard. But it's not because the guys didn't have a sense of togetherness, character, and just who they are as people.
And let's go to Bob Myers and why he's stepping down as president and GM of the Golden State Warriors.
This job, the one I'm in, and I would say this for any professional general manager or coach, requires complete engagement, complete effort, 1,000%. And if you can't do it, then you shouldn't do it. And so that's the answer to the question of why I can't do that to our players. I can't do that to Joe and Peter. Really, I can't do it to myself. And that's a question I've been wrestling with. Appreciate your patience. letting me make that decision, everybody in this room. You know, I've only known how to do things one way my whole life, is kind of all the way. And it doesn't feel right to do something when I can't give it everything. And that's what it takes to do what we've done over the last, for me, 12 years.
He has close relationships with these players, right? They have all grown up professionally together in this chapter. Bottom line, Bob Myers is stepping down because he didn't have it in him to be realistic about the future of Draymond Green and Klay Thompson as they start to decline and deteriorate from their prime years. And Steph is still an elite player in this league, but you probably have to get rid of one of those two guys to go back into championship contention. And Bob Myers just simply didn't want to do that. And that's why I think he's walking away. Abby Chin, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, will join us next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
I thought we were going to see history last night. We did know that the Boston Celtics were down 0-3 to the Miami Heat. And after the craziness on Saturday night with the Derek White buzzer beater, the tip-in, I thought Boston was going to find a way to win this series in seven, be the first team in NBA history to complete the 0-3 comeback. But that's not the case, as the Miami Heat are off to the NBA Finals that will start on Thursday night after they did blow out the Boston Celtics at TD Garden last night. Let's go out to the hotline right now and welcome in the sideline reporter for the Boston Celtics in Abby Chin for NBC Sports Boston. She's kind enough to join us right now. Abby, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I think still recovering from what was one of the craziest series I've ever witnessed in my life.
Yeah, how about the emotions? Because when they're down 0-3, everyone's thinking that series is over, and then they're like, all right, don't let us win tonight. They win that one game. And after that, that was just mayhem from being down 3-0 and then almost but not doing so completing that comeback.
Yeah, seriously. It was shades of the 2004 Red Sox, and they were calling on that epic comeback against their rival in the New York Yankees. And so I agree with you. I really believed that it was possible that the Celtics could be the ones to make history and be the first NBA team to overcome that kind of deficit. And then especially after the way things ended in game six, just how dramatic that was, the Derek White shot, you felt like the Celtics were just destined to be that team. And then unfortunately last night was just, it's not what I expected. I can tell you that. I really thought we were going to get a good game. Unfortunately, and I don't know how much Jason Tatum's ankle injury played into it from the beginning. Jaylen Brown told us, you know, it was swelling from the moment it happened, and Jason was really trying to fight through the pain, but clearly Jaylen trying to do a little too much after that, and it was just devastating from there on out.
Well, that's the thing to me. My biggest takeaway from the game last night is just Jaylen Brown just not stepping up in the moment on the biggest of stage when you have the Jason Tatum injury. And he just didn't have like a no-show. That's an all-time bad performance at home where he just never got comfortable in the game. You're around him on a daily basis. Was it surprising to you to see how bad Jaylen Brown was last night?
I don't think anyone expects more from Jaylen Brown than he does from himself. So there's no question talking to him post-game last night, he was devastated in himself and understands what happened. But I think he put too much on himself. I don't want to say that I'm not surprised. Jaylen is a guy who plays with the utmost of best intentions. And I think when things don't go your way and repeatedly don't go your way, especially in a game of that magnitude, it's understandable. You can see how mentally draining that can be. And to me, what is clear from this season is that Jaylen Brown, evidenced by the All-NBA nod, is one of the 10 best players in this league, particularly at the wing. And he is a guy who can come through. He's a guy who, and while he and Jason have been through more than their fair share of postseason battles, he is still a guy who is not in his prime yet. He is 26 years old, still developing his game. And the thing that I really appreciate about Jaylen is that every single summer, no matter how long or how short of a time he has, he works so hard on his game and comes back better with something that he clearly worked on. And the handles are something that has plagued him throughout his career. He knows that. He works on it. And I just have to believe that eventually it's going to get better.
With all that being said, Abby Chin, when you were in that locker room last night, did it feel like an end of an era? Because for so many years, you know this, covering the team on a daily basis, there's always that question, are they going to break up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? And you know Tatum's not going anywhere.
I don't believe it's the end of an era, and I don't think that those questions linger in the locker room or in the front office for the Boston Celtics. They know exactly what they have in the Jays and how special that is, the fact that they are homegrown, the fact that they are two of the top talents in the league who play both ways. And this is not a group and an organization that is going to make a split-second decision based on emotions of one playoff run. So, no, I don't believe it's the end of an era, particularly because Jaylen made All-NBA. And I think that this is an organization that has proven they can win. They just haven't been able to get over the hump. And you continue to give yourself chances. And if you surround the Jays, which is what Brad Stevens, since the moment he ascended to the president of basketball operations, has said, that is the one goal of the organization, is to prop up and create the best team around their foundational pieces, who are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and that eventually that should be good enough. I mean, this team was good enough on paper. No question was a title championship contender. And so I think that there will not be any snap judgments. While some fans may be looking for a lot of change, I just don't see that coming on the horizon.
Well, if they're going to move forward with this team, my next question would be, where's the killer instinct? Because even in that Hawks series, I didn't see it against Philadelphia. That series should have never gone to seven games, and it did. And right out of the gate in this series, they put themselves in a huge hole down 0-3. It seems like they kind of thrive putting themselves with their backs up against the wall, but that's a dangerous formula to play with, as we've seen throughout this postseason.
No question. They got burned, clearly, here in this series. And to me, it's not a lack of a killer instinct, because we saw what they can do in Game 7 against Philadelphia. Jason Tatum coming out, putting up 51 points, and, I mean, never wavering from the jump in that game. To me, there is no doubt this group has an inability to manufacture a sense of urgency in a game that is not do or die. And that if they knew what it was, why that was happening, they would have fixed it, because it has been something that has plagued them for the last two seasons at least. But it's from what I can tell and being around these guys, it's just human nature. I am guilty of it more than almost anyone, is just procrastinating. If I have to do something, if I need to do the dishes before we have company, you're right, I'm going to do it 5 minutes before anyone gets there. And so it's human nature. I think that it's absolutely something that they want to fix and will work on the mentality of that. But you can't question who they are in those moments of adversity. And more often than not, they come through.
So many people have been talking about Joe Mazzulla all throughout the year, Abby Chin. How do you evaluate in the moment, 24 hours since their season did come to a close, the job that Joe Mazzulla did this year?
I think Joe Mazzulla was thrust into a situation that no one could have seen coming or even comprehended being in. It was 2 days, 36 hours before this opening of training camp for a team that was expected to win a championship in a town of Boston that expects championships. Anything less is a complete and utter failure. And so to thrust a guy into that position, I don't think that you can question the job that he did. He was phenomenal and did everything that was asked of him. The shortcomings were obviously showcased and came up in this postseason run. But it was, I will say, last night, and this group is so good about not making excuses for themselves, but it was the first time really since that first couple of weeks to start the season that was talked about and brought up. And not necessarily as something that hung over them all year, but just the fact that this team and the runway to the season had a colossal shattering of just what they were expecting to have. And so to lose a head coach who everyone really loved and respected and believed in, to have that right before the start of a season, that is a level of adversity that I don't think many teams have faced. And I think that they did the best possible under those circumstances.
For me, Abby Chin, the story last night is Brown not showing up. I know afterwards NBA and TNT, they went right away to asking about, is Joe Mazzulla going to be back? I think he's going to be back. Would you be surprised if the Celtics move on from him this offseason?
I would be surprised. I think it's a really tall ask to put a fourth new head coach in front of this group. I think that we forget that the Celtics were without three assistants. They never replaced Joe Mazzulla on the back of the bench. They did not replace Damon Stoudemire when he left in April, and they did not replace Will Hardy, who was hired by the Utah Jazz. And so this staff, while did as well as could be expected in everything that was asked of them, I think that there's no question that you can get Joe some more support, and that will be the number one priority, I think, in this offseason for the Celtics.
Last thing I'll ask you, does the approach with this team need to change? Because we've seen throughout this playoffs just how reliant they are. I know it's part of the league these days, but how reliant they are on the three-point shot.
And that's what a lot of the discussion was last night, is after the game that, and what kind of lost them those first three games in that series of the Eastern Conference Finals, was that they got away from the defensive identity that really is what drove them to the NBA Finals a year ago. And in those three games on the comeback, we saw flashes of it. We saw flashes of it during the Philadelphia series as well, where it's all five guys who have incredible length and athleticism and basketball IQ working together, all five guys on a string, everyone covering for each other, having each other's backs. And you saw that in flashes. You just didn't see it for a full 48 minutes. And I think that absolutely the Celtics know, the players know, the organization knows that that is where their identity needs to start, and they understand they need to get back to that. But, I mean, this is a season that started out, this Celtics team was historic, on historic pace offensively, and so there's no question they were going to fade back, but it is something that will be a focus, I am sure, for the start of next season, is getting back to that defensive identity.
Abby Chin from NBC Sports Boston, we really do appreciate you carving out some time for us today right after, unfortunately for your case, the Boston Celtics season coming to a close with Miami Heat off to the NBA Finals up against Denver. Thanks so much, Abby.
Thanks, Zach. Have a good night.
You got it. You as well. This is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll react to that on the other side with five questions, five answers. We do this segment every Monday and Friday, but we basically treat today as a Monday show, since it's the first day of the work week for most of us coming off the long Memorial Day weekend.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Hickster, what do you got for me today?
Z-Man, after almost making history in the wrong way, the Heat did avoid becoming the first team to blow a 3-0 series lead, and now they are advancing after their Game 7 win to the NBA Finals for the second time in 4 years. Miami was led by Jimmy Butler and Caleb Williams, who combined to score, or Caleb Martin, excuse me, not Caleb Williams. Impressive he could do both, play college football and NBA basketball at a high level at the same time, but Caleb
I still
Martin,
think you've had a few too many beers in your system from that Penn State game that you had over the weekend, that lacrosse game. Seems like you're still in the bag a little bit.
No, come on. I'm a professional.
I don't know.
I show up to work in tip-top shape every day.
I don't know about that. I would call that into question, maybe.
I just would say there's not many star players with the first name Caleb, so it's anytime you hear Caleb, for the most part, my brain goes boom right to Caleb Williams. No disrespect, Caleb Martin. Now he's got a lot more room in my head going forward. That's what we'll go with. But
you're Caleb, like NBA on TNT's postgame coverage last night, and they're usually great, but last night was horrendous. Just terrible. The trophy presentation was brutal. Just brutal.
That it was. But Caleb Martin, Jimmy Butler, just combined to score in 54 of the 103 Heat points on Monday. Looking ahead, Miami is huge underdogs to the Nuggets. Right now, Denver is minus 400, according to BetMGM, to win this series. Onsides or offsides, the Miami Heat will win the NBA Finals.
Have we seen what ESPN has tabbed this yet? Do we know what the percentage
is? The BPI?
Whatever that stupid thing is?
No, I'm not seeing the BPI yet.
Gotcha, because last series, it was 3%. 3% they gave the Heat a chance to go to the NBA Finals. Now, this is just the matchup predictor. This is according to ESPN Analytics, whatever that means, when I go right to the page. I don't know if this is just for game one of the entire series. Let me preface that. But right now I'm seeing Denver at 77.7%, Miami at 22.3%. My guess would be that is just for game one, would be my guess.
Yes, I think you're right. And it's in the circle?
Yeah.
Yeah, on ESPN, yeah, that's, I think, just game one.
Now, we haven't seen Denver play in a long time.
It's going to be a week and a half since they're going to get on the court next.
When was their last game? What was that? I was supposed to go to game five in Denver on that Wednesday. So that would have been, what, Monday night that series wrapped
That's
up?
That's right. 10 days.
Wow. And this series not going to start until Thursday. And Miami, they've won every game one this postseason.
That's right.
They beat the Bucks, they beat the Knicks, and they beat the Celtics in game one.
They're 3-0 in game one.
Denver's going to win the series. See, this one's tough because right after all these emotions. I'll give you a thought later in the week on who's going to win game one. But my first instinct says Miami is going to win game one. But to answer your question, onside or offside, the Heat will win the NBA Finals? No. Offside. Denver's going to win the entire thing. What I'm deciding still, and I tweeted this right after the game, is it going to be in five games or going to be in six games? That's what I'm really deciding on right now. I kind of want to give Miami the benefit of the doubt, but the more and more I think about this one, I'm leaving Denver in five games. That's what I'm thinking, but Denver's going to win the entire thing.
Offside.
All right, on the other side of that, Game 7, the Celtics, they failed to make the NBA Finals despite their path to the Finals being the Hawks, a 7-seed, Sixers, 3-seed, but a team they've owned in the postseason, and the 8th-seeded Heat. Yep. Now, a lot of attention will turn to the future of their head coach in Joe Mazzulla. The first-year head coach really struggled in the playoffs with lineups, timeout usage, and adjustments. Now, he was, this past year, the youngest coach in the league and was promoted to head coach just 3 days before the season
what
started
did
last year.
Say, I think like 2 hours and 46 minutes or 2 days and like whatever she said. I liked how she worded that.
It was a very fast turnaround from being the assistant coach to the head coach. Thank you, Ime Udoka. Onsides or offsides, the Celtics should fire Joe Mazzulla.
When they do the 30 for 30 on the Boston Celtics, do you think they start things off? What if I told you a coach not being able to keep it in his pants is why the Boston Celtics did not win an NBA championship? Because you do have to wonder, if Udoka is the coach, they trusted that coach so much, the players. Maybe not management, maybe not ownership, depending on what you read what the heck actually happened. But those players, there was a report, when they were down 3-0, that for Moj, I think it was, that they've never gotten over the Udoka situation. Because I don't know what's said behind the scenes, but it has not been told publicly what the heck actually happened. And this guy's already coaching for a new team. So you could assume, and I think it's easy to do the math and everyone could formulate their own opinions here. But when I look back at this season, you could change their approach. Yeah, they're too reliant on the three ball. But I don't look at last night as a reason why you have to get rid of Joe Mazzulla. That was on Jaylen Brown last night. I don't care who you have coaching last night, Hickey. No coach is finding a way to win that game. You could have Pop. You could have Spoelstra. You could have Phil Jackson. You could have Pat Riley. Red Auerbach. All right, whoever you want coach that game last night. Pick your coach. It does not matter when Tatum rolls his ankle if Jaylen Brown's going to be that much of a no-show. I don't think the Celtics should fire Joe Mazzulla, because then I ask you this. Who do you bring in? You going to go back to the Doc Rivers well? As he's a finals for the Suns job? Yeah, no thanks. Nick Nurse just got the Sixers job. You want to tell me Monty Williams, whose teams did not show up the last 2 years in elimination games? Yeah, I'll pass on that one. And because of that answer being, ooh, in terms of who you're going to bring in, that's why the Celtics should bring back Joe Mazzulla. So you ask me the Celtics should fire Joe Mazzulla, I would go offside.
Offside.
Where do you lie on that one, by the way?
I am with you. Yeah, this is not a coaching problem. I think he will. I thought he was better as the series went on, to give him credit. I thought really in games 5 and 6, he was a lot better. Even yesterday, it was not him. So I would bring him back.
Well, this is what
it's
happens.
A player problem, not a coach problem.
Well, this is what happens. And he does deserve some of the blame. But everyone's like, fire this guy! Fire him! Who are you bringing in? If you bring in Doc Rivers, I'm laughing. I know he's won the championship, but he's been overrated ever since. Monty Williams, you can't bring in that guy and tap him as the savior. He'll coach again in this league. He'll be head coach again in this league. But the last 2 years, his players egregiously no-showed. So when Jaylen Brown no-shows, you're going to then bring in Monty Williams, who had his team no-show, and expect that he's going to be the one to get the best out of Jaylen Brown? That I don't see. So because there's not a great answer on who to bring in, that's why I'm going to keep Mazzulla. Next question.
Let's go with Jaylen Brown, or stick there, I should say, because Game 7 was a rough one for the Celtics star. Needing a big game with Jason Tatum limited after suffering an ankle injury to seconds into the game, Brown instead turned the ball over 8 times, as many times as he hit a shot from the field, also 8. Now, a big offseason decision is looming over the Celtics because Brown is eligible for a 5-year, $295 million contract extension this offseason. Onsides or offsides, Jaylen Brown will get traded this offseason.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe Jaylen Brown, if it's up to him, wants to continue to be a Boston Celtic? Let me ask you that.
I would say yes.
Okay. So if that's your answer, then I think he'll be back. And I think he'll get the extension. If he doesn't want to be a Boston Celtic, you have to get rid of him with a year left on the contract. Because even though he was horrible last night and deserves to get dragged today in the media for being so brutal in that game and just no show him when Tatum gets hurt, he's still an all-NBA second team player this year. I view him as a top 20 player in the league. If you want to technically say you can view him as top 10 player, I don't think he's a top 10 player in this league. But he's a very good two-way player in this league. He's not a number one on a championship team. He's got to fix the turnovers. The dribbling's got to improve. But if he wants to stay, I think Boston isn't going to go out of their way to get rid of him. Like when Durant was available, different conversation. That's Kevin bleeping Durant. But if he wants to stay, and I think there's a lot of reasons from a dollar and cents perspective why he would want to stay, I do think that he's going to be back with the Celtics. So it'll be another offseason of, should they break up the core? Are they going to trade Jaylen Brown? And then he won't get dealt. So you ask me, Jaylen Brown will get traded this offseason. I will go offside.
Offside.
Earlier today, Warriors GM and President Bob Myers announced he is stepping down from his role. Myers was the architect of the Golden State Dynasty, helping the team win 4 titles and reach 6 NBA Finals. Now, the Warriors are facing a massive payroll next year, $500 million, if the current team they have is ran back next season. Onsides or offsides, Draymond Green and Klay Thompson won't be a part of the Warriors next year.
Both of them.
Both.
Offside.
Offside.
One of them will be back. I got to see who the next president and GM is. The guy that was endorsed today by Bob Myers was Mike Dunleavy Jr. Myers resigned today, and I said this all throughout the show, because he didn't have it in him to be honest with either Draymond or Clay. He knew one of those guys, if not both of those guys, needed to go to reconstruct this team to go get Steph another championship while Steph is still playing like an elite player. Clay still has another year on his contract. Draymond has the opt-out. I don't know what Draymond is going to do this offseason. I think it's more likely that Draymond leaves and they get rid of Draymond than it is Clay. But I don't think both are not going to be back with the team next year. So you said Draymond and Clay Thompson won't be part of the Warriors next year. I would go offside.
And finally, Jimmy Garoppolo's future with the Raiders is in limbo. After getting surgery on his foot back in March, Pro Football Talk revealed that in Garoppolo's contract, the Raiders have the ability to cut him at any point if the foot injury prevents him from playing. Right now, there is no timetable for Jimmy G's return to the field. Onsides or offsides, Jimmy G will be on the Raiders by week one.
Onsides, I think this is just a bunch of hot air. Like, don't get me wrong. There's a clause in the contract because they don't believe in the foot. And that's why when they told you, oh, nothing to see here, when they delayed the introductory press conference, there was something to see. But it's still early. I think the foot should be fine by the start of the season. And he's going to be playing week one for the Las Vegas Raiders. You could put this idea of Brady being a minority owner and playing for the team right down the drain, because all the teams would have to approve that. And there's no way Brady's going to get all 32 votes to be a minority owner and be playing for the Las Vegas Raiders. So you ask me, Jimmy G will be on the Raiders by week one. That will be on sides, even though it's very easy to get out of this current contract. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout. You asked me about the future of Jaylen Brown. I think it's all dependent on if Jaylen Brown wants to be a Boston Celtic. Let's just say if Jaylen Brown no longer wants to be a Boston Celtic with a year left on his contract. How do the Celtics approach that? And also, I think there's really one team that you could find a way to get a deal done with if the Celtics do, in fact, are going to operate with trading Jaylen Brown this upcoming offseason. We'll get into that convo on the other side. The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio returns in 5 minutes.